Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Hello, all. How are you? Here we are, Spike's Car Radio on a Wednesday. Zuckerman's down in Mexico. I can only imagine what that means.
He went to Mexico?
Matt Fair is here. You just heard him chime in. He's got a little Mexican house down there, and as I understand it, he kidnaps unsuspecting American citizens, puts them in a hole, and that's how he makes his money. He calls their families back in the U.S. I got your grandson. Give me your money. Anyway, we're happy that you're with us. We hope you're holding on in this horrible, horrible winter we're having with COVID-19. And I hope, like me, you're enjoying watching people get vaccinated. It makes me feel better when I see that there's an end to this. Anyway, here we are out in Malibu. Matt Fair is joining us. It's right before New Year's. Hope you're having a great time. We have a good show for you. You probably, if you follow me on Instagram, have seen me riding my electric bike around Brentwood at night and in various disasters that we have, fires, I'm on it. Now that we're locked under quarantine, stay at home, the kids and I take them out at night in the hills. Well, Storm Saunders, the man, the Malibu resident who started this company, is going to be on with us, and he's going to tell us all about it. What I love about him, Matt,
is his first name. I know, me too.
He sounds like a weatherman from Channel 4. Mm-hmm. Storm Saunders. Mm-hmm. But what he really is, and I did a deep dive, I was on YouTube last night learning about him, is he's all about making the electric bike affordable for people, which I kind of sensed because I didn't pay a lot for my electric bike.
This is a noble mission.
It's a noble mission. He wants everybody to have one. So as people were charging more and more for these things, like these Trek bikes are like $15,000, he's lowering his prices at times. I love the guy, and I'm so excited to talk to him.
I was given a very expensive electric bike.
Yes.
In exchange for, you know, a couple of Instagram posts.
Right, right. I remember that. The one that goes 35 miles an hour.
It's crazy fast.
Which I believe is too fast
for
electric bikes.
Yeah, no, it is. It's the McLaren 765LT of electric bikes. It's like the BMW S1000RR of electric bikes.
See Simon Cowell for my reactions.
But it's not but it's not like what you'd call a tool bike. You know what I mean? It's like an art piece that goes really fast that you could ride. I am very interested in the practical tool electric bicycle. That's
the bike I have is the XS, so it's got those big, what I interpreted as like beach sand riding tires. But what happens is, it's not just for the beach. It's like a motorcycle when you get it on the street.
So it actually absorbs bumps.
Well, frequently I'm riding uphill without my hands on the handlebars. My hands are in my pocket.
Oh, so you mean because of the larger, the rotating mass of the gyroscope effect of the wheels with the heavier tires actually makes you more stable. That makes sense.
Bigger wheels, much more stability.
Yeah, heavier tires, that's more stable.
And then you can blast it off the road into the dirt and then onto the sand. It's a really
cool
thing.
Hannah and I walk on the beach. We live in Venice and walk on the beach. And there's been a couple folks like mobbing down the beach in these things.
Mobbing.
Spike. Mobbing is moving at a particularly quick clip.
When are you going to get a T-shirt that says mobbing?
You know, it's not my word. I didn't make up mobbing.
Word.
I didn't make up mobbing. I didn't.
Anyway, thank you for coming out here, Matt Ferrer. We're
here. It's cold. You're welcome.
It's cold. It's rainy. There's no car shows going on here. It's perfect for a show. But we're outside because it's the safe thing to do with our guest, right?
Yeah, there's probably an 8 to 10 knotter right now. And so our dirty breath is being cast off into the Malibu.
Mine's not dirty. I just got my test results again. I went into this test place because the last... I've been doing the free one at the VA.
Uh-huh.
They just decided not to send me my results last week. And I was like, God damn it. So I went to a place of... This is like a Simpsons episode. Easy COVID testing.
Oh, really?
Instead of easy, it's E-A-Z-Y COVID testing.
No way.
Testing.
Like... Yeah. G-Eazy, the rapper's personal COVID testing brand.
And I opened this door, and there were just three nurses standing there, and this one lady's showing the other lady how to do a test. And I'm like, wait, you're not a nurse? Do you not know how to do a test? But
it's like anyone can get it now.
It was the first up-the-nose experience I had where they touched the brain.
Oh, you haven't done the deep dig?
That was the first one.
Yeah, no. See, I go to a place in Marina Del Rey that's an urgent care, but they take my insurance, so it's free.
Yes.
So I go a lot.
Yes.
I go twice a week
right.
because I have people in my studio to do podcasts,
correct.
And it's the safe thing to do.
Yes.
At least it's as safe as can be expected. So anyway, there's two different doctors who work there who I see. One does the double dip. That's the one dip in each nostril, but it's a shallower dip.
Yeah.
And then shout out to Dr. Gianarelli, because Dr. Gianarelli...
I love the big plugs on this podcast.
Dr. Gianarelli, an Xer, she's like that scene in Total Recall,
yes.
where he's got to pull the bug out of his brain, and there's an oil rig deep digging into your skull, but it's only one side.
I've heard people describe it as relaxing. It's not relaxing. It's painful.
People like getting tied up to racks and whipped
now,
by women.
Now, here's my only complaint.
I got
a result... a little over than 24 hours later. Of course, a negative result, or I would not be here. But I also, while I was there, I like, what else do you have? And they go, well, we've got the rapid antibody, blah, blah, blah. Like, let's have one of those, too. And they pricked my finger and took my blood. I didn't get that result. And that was a 15-minute test. And they said, do you want to wait? And I go, no, I don't want to wait. Just send it to me. They go, okay, it'll get sent automatically. It didn't get sent. Now I've been calling easy testing for easy COVID testing all morning, trying to talk to a human, and that's been impossible.
You know what they did? They sold your DNA to the FBI.
They can have it. But I really want to know. Here's what I want to know. Like everyone who thinks that, you know, they think back.
Did you have it in January?
Yeah, but no. March, the first week of March, right as this thing was hitting, the Porsche Lit Show was happening down in the basement, horrible, unventilated, hot, steamy room with too many people at the Hyatt at LAX. And Zuckerman and I, cocky and not believing in this thing, we're like, we're not going to let a stupid virus stop. We went, we had breakfast, and then we went into that room.
I went there too.
There was no mask mandate.
I went to meet you.
You were there.
I went too.
There was no mask mandate, right?
No, there was not.
And here we are just milling and bumping into people, and it's sweaty. Well, Zuckerman and I got sick 2 days later. We both got sick.
Well, was it worth it, Spike?
And
was it worth it to get a shop manual for an 87 Targa, Spike?
It was totally worth it. It's totally worth it for this story. No. But he then got tested and for the antibodies and was tested negative. I then got sick, I don't know, a month later. And I just remember, you know, it was the classic symptom of, geez, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to bed. And I woke up the next day and I was fine. I'm really jealous of the people getting the vaccine right now. I have two friends who have it already.
Easy. Get on it.
Well, you can't. There's no way to get it. Anyway.
I did one of those online calculators to see based on certain parameters where you stand. There's 280 million people ahead of me.
Yes, exactly. You and I are
We're going to be wearing masks for a while.
Yeah, I know. There's no world where we're getting this.
No. Anyway, if we were elected senator.
Huh?
If we were elected senators.
Yeah, I know. I have a friend who I write with who is now a doctor, too. And he's optimistic that the vaccine will now start flowing.
Who's now a doctor? He uses COVID time to get his medical degree.
His name is Andy Robin. He's a Seinfeld writer. He wrote the Junior Mint. And as far as I know, he's the only... I've heard of doctors that become comedy writers. I've heard of lawyers that become comedy writers. As far as I know, he's the only comedy writer that became a doctor after Seinfeld. He goes, now that we're... the number one comedy writing team in the world. You know what I'm going to do with that? What are you going to do? Development deal? Get collect your millions? Nope.
Debt-free med school.
Med school. Hey. And he went to Rhode Island,
good
and he became
him.
A doctor, and now he's in the Navy. And I called wow. him up recently and said, how would you like to get out of the Navy and write comedy again? He said, let's do it. He was also on the B-movie team, notably. The B-movie
oh,
team.
All right, yeah.
So we're working on something. It's not B-movie 2. Let's talk about this Bronco trip. A few weeks ago, Ford called me up. Have you driven the Bronco at all?
No, neither of them.
Yeah. And said, we've got, all I saw in the email was we've got a thing going on at Gorman or Hungry Valley. Is that the place up there?
Yep.
You want to drive the Bronco? And I said, yes, right away, not seeing the sport after the name. But got in my nice little Porsche Drive app car and drove up an hour, listened to music. This is some Marc Maron and Howard Stern. And before I knew it, I was in this beautiful evergreen clearing, like down this long dirt road that I'm sure the Porsche Drive app people will not be happy about when they get the car back. Big bumps and dirt, really like an off-road road.
You enter the park from the south side by the lake, by Lake Pyramid?
Yeah, past there, and came to this beautiful clearing of evergreen trees, and around a corner, this field of Bronco sports laid out in every color. A Bronco Sport fire truck. My Ford friends who were there, and they had one of these off-road adventures set up for us. Not unlike the one we did for Land Rover at the Imperial Dunes for the Defender. This was all in Gorman. I didn't know they had like Double Diamond and Diamond off-road.
Yeah, it's like they grade it like a ski mountain, which is super helpful, by the way.
Super fun. And they took us out in the Bronco Sport, and I was skeptical. I sat through the presentation, listened to everyone and how they came up with this and what was important to them. I thought it was really interesting that the guy who had designed the Ford Bronco Sport on paper had never driven it, and he was there with us. I forget the fella's name, so this was his first time.
That weird kind of stuff happens more
driving.
Than you think.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. A lot more than you think.
And then they went through why they made the Bronco Sport and what it was to them. And in a nutshell, it was we want to open up the 4x4 truck market to people who are a little inexperienced, that are rookies, who that maybe have never done this before, and give them a tool and a truck to drive that is intuitive and easy and one to learn on. And I really like that idea.
Sure.
And they go, at the same time, we think you'll be kind of impressed with how it works. And then they set us off on the road. And I got in. They have two engines on this deal. They said, all right, some of you can go in the 1.5-liter turbo, and the others can go in the 2-liter. Of course, we all ran to the 2.
Yeah,
it was
right.
An interesting, like a Le Mans start at the beginning.
Yeah.
There are four of
when
us.
When the engines get down to the 1s,
yes.
You're just like, all right, what do I have to do to get out?
But it was one of the funny things that Ford kind of did. You know, it's like, you know, these guys are running a program. They don't really... They don't work with public groups a lot, so they don't know how to. So they were doing the presentation, and there were 5 or 6 journalists. They're doing the presentation. And they go, "Okay, before I start the presentation, are we okay if I take my mask off?" He says to 6 strangers. While I do the presentation. It was outside. But in all our heads, we're quickly going, well, how are we going to decide that? A vote? I mean, and some journalist just goes, "Just leave the mask on. We can hear you." And it was like, exactly. And then they had the cars lined up, and they said, okay, some of these are 2 liters, some of these are 1.5 liters. So, you know, just grab whatever you want. So that was a Le Mans start. Ready? Go!
Whatever you want is the operative word.
We all ran to the same beautiful, like, non-metallic gray and non-metallic blue.
And biggest engine, biggest tires.
And I got in the non-metallic blue, right? This other journalist runs up to the window and goes, Hey, do you mind switching with me? I've got to take some pictures of this. I go, well, yeah, don't we all?
Yeah.
Didn't I run to this first? But I said, go ahead, take it. I don't care. I'm just happy to be here. Anyway, we got in our trucks and we like embarked on this, you know, run. And I have to tell you that this truck was great. Here's the first thing I noticed about it. The suspension, maybe it's the shorter wheelbase, as we were kind of flying over bumps and it was very, very smooth. You know, in the Defender, it's a longer wheelbase and it's a longer truck, so you do feel your ups and downs a little more. But this thing just was kind of jamming along these bumpy roads, which is something they kind of engineered into the suspension. Yeah. Again, with an
average
eye towards
length of whoops in trail versus average wheelbase.
No, I think the idea was that if you're starting out as on a, in a 4x4, that you shouldn't really worry too much about the bumps. Like, I, again, at being new to the 4x4 world of off-roading, they were kind of saying, we have a comfort mode for you. Does that make sense?
Sure, yeah, all right.
And it and I definitely felt that.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, we're winding around, the usual stuff, bouncing around. And then we had this gigantic kind of two-story sheet of rock going down. Do you need to walk by?
No, I just wanted to, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh.
What's up?
I just wanted to give you this. This is,
is this weed?
What
is
this?
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Somebody is interrupting and giving Matt Farah weed.
You can interrupt me to give me weed.
Sorry for
is this your brand?
Yeah, that's my brand.
Are you Brett?
I'm not Brett.
The brand's called Wonder Brett.
Yes.
Terrific. Thank you for stopping by, Wonder Brett.
Thank you for this.
It's good to see you.
Thank you for this week.
Now you may exit.
All right.
No worries.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Wonder Brett. Listen. Now, what is that, a jar of weed he just handed you?
Yes, it is. This
hilarious.
This is literally a jar of weed.
Is that legal, what he just did?
Giving me weed? Yes, it is. In this state, absolutely legal.
I'm going to send
you
him the bill for that
plug,
Wonder
Brett.
You may gift
other people. You can bleep it out. I don't give a shit.
Anyway, let me just run through some of the...
Listen, if someone wants to interrupt me by gifting me ganja, I'm to suffer that.
I'm leaving it in. I'm not taking this out. I like it. I like when things happen, except that weird George Hamilton guy who joined us last time. Wait, now another interrupt is happening.
No.
What is this?
No interrupt. This is,
it's Hannah.
This is my
Hello,
wife
Hannah.
Giving me the second half of my sandwich, which I will not eat on
chips.
This podcast.
So if you're just now listening, Matt Farah got weed, and when he gets the munchies, he has a sandwich and chips.
Get the egg salad at Bill's. I'll defend it to the death. It's very fluffy.
You know, these things... These press events are always really funny because I don't know if you've done these 4x4 ones, these off-road ones.
You know how
they get you really afraid? They're like,
sometimes
okay, we're going to get you to
do.
A place, and if you decide you don't want to descend the hill, we totally understand. We're not here to make anybody do anything. And everybody's going, yeah. They bring us to this two-story steep decline sheet of rock with sand on it.
Yes.
And I go... I don't think I want to do this. And I was there with Jeff from the Hooniverse. What's his name?
Glucker.
And he's like, "You going to do this?" And you know, in my head, I'm talking tough. Yeah, totally going to do this. You go, "You done this stuff before?" "Oh yeah, I got it." But I had no idea what I was doing. And he's
turns
obviously
turns out you press one button and the truck goes down by itself.
No, it doesn't because it slides at something. So they go, first, we're going to show you how it works, but just know your whole truck is going to slide on the rock twice and to just let it happen. And what they mean is you're going to be riding the brakes down hard in rock crawling mode, but this is a brake modulation exercise. Mm-hmm. Exercise. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Where you're full brake, letting off a little, just enough, full brake, you're going to slide what looks like you're going to slide off the mountain. And they do it. And, you know, they've got people there and you've got walkies in there and you're taking you through it. And, you know, I get in the truck and sure enough, I fucking do it.
Yes.
It goes down and, you know.
They planned this activity so that you could
do it. No, I know, but I'm describing to the listener the following, which is if you were standing at the foot of this hill, you'd never do this on your own. You definitely wouldn't do it if you were by yourself. And you might not do it if this team was there, but when you get in this truck, the Bronco Sport, you feel like I have everything I need to make this easy. I don't know how to describe it other than like the way skis cut against ice.
Yeah.
Like the damn thing works. So
you should come off-roading with me. I drive SUVs on dirt quite frequently. You'd be amazed at what a bone stock truck will do.
Well,
it's
I've
not
got my
hard.
Defender now.
I brought a stock Velar. So you know they rank those trails like you were just saying, like ski slopes, right? I drove a bone stock Velar. Forget a Defender or a Velar up the hardest trail in this park that I go to up north by Vasquez Rocks.
Right.
And I mean even a competent crossover is able to do a lot of stuff. And I'm not trying to like crap on the Bronco sport. I'm sure it's great off-road, but like the technology that they have now allows these types of vehicles that have really straightforward on-road mannerisms,
right,
to do pretty amazing things on the dirt.
Yeah, and that's exactly.
You don't need to drive some like clunky thing anymore,
right? Right.
To have really good, you know, off road performance.
Well, the long and short of it was, I was impressed. I mean, looking out forward from the cockpit or where you're sitting, it looks like a real Bronco. Not so much from behind; it's a teeny little truck, but it's still, you know.
My wife really digs it, actually. My wife digs it because she likes boxy vehicles, but she doesn't want something that's like so gnarly, like the full Bronco. Like, she had that first-gen Escape back in the day wants to get back to that. And I feel like the Bronco Sport is really like the, oops, sorry, we turned the Escape into a frog. Here's a rugged one, too.
All I was going to say is your competition is probably like the RAV4, the Forester, the Jeep Compass.
Yeah.
This is the one I would pick over all of those. Even though I like the way the new Toyota RAV4 looks. I think it looks...
RAV4s are pretty fast, actually. RAV4 V6 is like real fast.
But they fix the exterior styling on it. Yeah. You know, there are kids in my neighborhood who have them. Spoiled rich kids. But they
is that a spoiled rich kid's car now, a RAV4?
Any new car that your parents buy you is a spoiled rich kid, right?
I think that's true, but I also if I were to conjure up a stereotypical spoiled rich kid car, a RAV4
is not
what would come to mind.
No, but
like
still
I went to spoiled rich kids school and it was A4s and Grand Cherokees.
Wow.
That's where we were at.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We had riding lawnmowers. That was the first tier of car
I realize this was ridiculous.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, Bronco Sport.
It's nice. Bronco Sport. Did you have the 1.5 or the 2.0?
Wait, let me just tell you. I want to talk about what they cost. Just get through this, all right? Bronco Sport base, $28,000. And then you go all the way up to Bronco Sport first edition, $40,000. Already sold out.
These first editions are a real fucking scam.
Okay. First of all, a lot of times first editions never get delivered until after the other editions get delivered. But yes, they are a scam. What is the scam? Explain to us
some,
the scam.
Capitalizing on people's desire to have things first, even if it's a fairly regular mass production thing. Second, cars are known to be collectible in general, certain types of cars.
Right.
You're intending to create a collectability where there really is none.
But do you think the Bronco Sport First Edition is collectible?
No, but I think there's...
What about the Jeep Gladiator first edition?
No, none of it is. But I think there are people dumb enough to put down the money. I mean, there's people that bought...
I get excited about it when I see it.
Like, I think the regular Bronco, the new Bronco, design-wise, and I haven't even seen one in person, mind you, is a design home run. The full-size Bronco, both in two and four doors. Design home run, for sure. But like... Would I pay $10,000 extra to get one called First Edition? Like, no, you'd have to be an idiot to do that. But there's lots of idiots out there, you know, so it's okay. Listen, I was just down at Superformance in Orange County.
Okay.
The replica
Cobra.
Yeah,
I know who they are.
Okay, sorry.
I like
the audience might not. I said on my podcast that I wanted to drive a small block.
Yeah.
And so they have a new small block package down there, and the car looks just like the car that Ken Miles was racing in Willow Springs in Ford versus Ferrari.
Great.
Did you have a go in it? You should. It's fun.
I thought the same thing when I was watching the movie. I want to drive it.
You can buy that now, exactly as it is from the movie. It's $147,000. Yes.
And what was it like?
It's fucking cool. I mean, it's really cool. It's a it's a 289 stroke to 331.
Wow.
375 horsepower, 2,300 pounds, 5-speed manual, and a heater. That's pretty much it.
Wow.
And it was really fun. But the point was, I went down there, and they have a showroom, 60, 70 cars in it. Cobras GT40s, and all the stuff they make. The point is, people are spending $150,000 to $250,000 on replica Cobras. And, like, spending it, not like a couple here and there. Their business is booming. They have replica Cobras up to $350,000.
Well, how do you not watch that movie and not feel that way? I just, when I watched the movie, it's the first time I ever thought I would buy a replica Cobra, that I would just go because Matt Damon just looks so cool in that car. I don't care anymore.
I had the funniest conversation of, there's people who want to buy this car that are role-playing as Ken Miles,
yes.
and people that are role-playing yes. as Christian Bale,
yeah.
role-playing as Ken Miles,
yes.
which is really funny.
No, and
me.
Matt Damon.
Which is really, really funny.
He was
funny.
Flying around in them, too.
Yeah, yeah,
anytime
yeah.
you see that, it's an interesting thing because it's the first time that it made me want to drive a replica. Which makes no sense other than there were replica cars in the movie, and I guess that makes it cool. I don't know.
Well, they did supply the cars for the film. So the car yes, you can buy is exactly the car they're driving in
Correct.
The film. Having said that, I have driven a bunch of different Cobras, and I believe if I were to put a value number on the driving experience of a car like that,
yep.
it would be $65,000 to $80,000.
Right.
That's
right.
about where I put the value of that experience. They're charging double that and more for these cars. So
wow.
it's what your wallet will bear. But yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, should we bring our friend Storm on? He just walked up.
Yeah, sure.
He's standing over there like an electric genius sprite with one of his followers who's got, looks like one of the first prototypes, one of the first cars. The only thing we have to figure out is the rain.
Tell you what, I can't wait to drive home my Cup 2 tires in the rain.
I came here in that 992 right there.
Well, it's on regular tires, isn't it?
I know, but I was able to put it in wet mode for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Wet mode works, doesn't it?
I guess. I mean, I can't tell.
It just numbs down the throttle a little bit so you don't get as twitchy. It's nice.
It made me feel better that it was raining and I could still drive like a maniac, but...
When I drove the 992 in Germany when it first came out and I drove through a massive downpour, the wet mode was nice. I did
wow.
use it. Can I talk real quick about my Ferrari, which is up at Donnie's?
Oh, boy. Go ahead.
I brought it to Donnie's.
Yep.
And
by the way, I've never... I mean, it was so quiet a minute ago. And
is
we've
that
got
whistling?
Dogs
is that
jingling.
Wind whistling?
That's the
that
Model
noise?
Y oh, behind you
Model
backing
y?
Up. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Listen to that noise.
Yeah.
It sounds like a 60s sci-fi movie, like a theremin.
Yeah, it's definitely got some backup noises. Okay, interesting. He looked at the car for about 45 seconds, and he went, oh, boy, like 3 or 4 times.
I told you that always happens when you get a new Ferrari.
But here's the good news.
Yes.
On the first day, when I dropped it off, he goes, I'm going to need the deposit for parts. I go, how much? He goes, 2 G's. I go, okay. So I Venmo him 2 G's. He has now made a complete list of necessary parts in order to make my car 100% to factory spec, and it is under the 2 G's. So that's good. Under 2 G's.
Yeah, he's
He
good.
Said basically there was some janky wiring, there's some incorrect hoses and incorrect fittings, but for the most part, everything that's there can be fixed very easily,
wow.
and it will be good to go. And he said, when I get it back, this will be one of the best driving 328s around, and it will work absolutely factory
That's
spec.
Such an exciting car.
Very
I love
exciting.
That car.
You
I
should
love
buy
those.
One. It drives
I
so
know,
nice.
I know. It's been on my list for so long. So long. Look, there's Bill. Now, look, Bill, he's checking his watch like our stage manager. Bill, tell Storm to come over. I don't want to make you nervous. Thank you, Bill. Bill set this up. Well, Storm, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
I don't know. Let's just start with my entry point to your product, which is Bill from the Malibu Kitchen talking about electric bikes and how we all need them. And I think it was shortly after that I bought one of your Saunders XS bikes. And it was assembled by another customer, John. This is like Saunders Central here. And delivered to my home. And I probably use it every single night of my life. It's been one of the most driven vehicles that I have, if not the most. Out of all the things I own, the bikes, the cars, the motorcycles, every afternoon, every evening, I'm on my Saunders XS blasting through the hills of Brentwood, thanking you, who I didn't even know you were a real guy. I thought this was just like Led Zeppelin. Like, there's no Led Zeppelin. There's Storm Saunders. It was
like
just a brand
Tull.
Name. But it's a guy.
Jethro Tull's the name of the band.
Jethro Tull.
Not the name of the guy.
It turns out there's a guy. named Storm Saunders, and he lives. You live out here in Malibu?
Yeah, I do.
This makes sense because I come up here to see you.
Yes.
And everyone's like, Storm's here? Storm's right. Like, does every single person know this dude?
The other thing that happens that Bill sells more of these bikes than eggs.
Do you get a cut, Bill? Bill doesn't get a cut, but he really should.
Seinfeld has one. My neighbors see me on them. I was then on the local news during the fire. They said, what kind of bike is this? The son? All the dads in the neighborhood bought them. It's just once people see them and once people ride them, they lose their minds. And one of the reasons is not just because it rides well, is because it's not a $15,000 Trek bike. It's an affordable electric bike that is just as good, in my opinion. Tell me about the inspiration for this company, because I sense that was part of it.
Inspiration. So I had a torn meniscus a couple years ago, and I couldn't surf, right? And being a surf guy, I really was just like, oh my God, how do I get out there? So I'm spending a year in a bed, right, with my leg up. I saw the fat bikes. So
fat bikes, just for those who aren't here in Malibu, are those big tire beach bikes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like kind of like fat tires, like 4.9. I think that's what you have. You know, the normal tire is like 2.7. So it's almost like a
sidewall.
Double.
Sidewall, yeah. Is good.
And people out here, I remember seeing them for the first time and going, I don't understand why you want to ride a bike on a beach. But I guess sometimes people put a surfboard on them and ride down the water.
Super cool to see people ride them across the beaches.
No, right? I know it is. I'm just saying you don't see that anywhere else in the country.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to explain that.
Yeah, so and that's a really good point because, when I don't ride it on a beach. I don't think I've ever ridden on a beach, right?
Right.
Like in the sand. It was just kind of like get close to the beach, you know, that feeling. And, you know, then I start to look into this, like what I always like transportation. You know, like drones, helicopters. I was in toy business prior to this. So lived in Hong Kong for 5 years. So always factories, right? So I like to build stuff. And I looked at it and then I looked at a couple other bikes out there. And yeah, they were like $5,000 and I wanted to get an electric bike, right? And then that's like, man, I always question reality. It's like, you know, what's real and what's not real? You know what I mean? So you look at this bike and, you know, you just break it down, reverse engineer. And then I had that aha moment. Holy Moses, this is not a $5,000 bike. This is a $4,000 profit margin. So
really?
Yeah. So and that's where like my toy background kicked in. And I was like, how can we... because the challenge wasn't selling the $500 e-bike. That was the original cost when I did the one we're looking at right here, was on Indiegogo. The challenge was, what do you do after you sell, right? How does one, like Spike, repairs it? If something goes bad, how does he troubleshoot? So that was the idea. You know, 7 tools and... We send them with a box, and you can fix it on your own. It's plug and play, right? So the Lego concept. Just pull out the controller, put the new one in. You know, whatever you need to do, you can unplug it, unplug the new part in within seconds. So that was the idea.
So you started crowdfunding it.
Yeah.
You needed the money to do it.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that experience, the crowdfunding experience?
It was super new back then, right? So, and I didn't know what to expect. So I can just tell you one thing that the day we launched it, I went for a pal boarding, and 2 hours later was a $2 million. So let me ask you this. Like, let me ask you this, right?
So that sounds totally normal. Like it's a thing that just happens.
Exactly.
Like,
how was I prepared for that, right? So
I just want to follow this. You reverse engineer this $5,000 bike. You're making toys at the time, so you're in Hong Kong and where these factories are, and you're like, all I need are these 28 pieces, right?
Yeah.
And it's probably going to cost this amount of money.
Yeah.
So I can get this thing made at this price point and still make a little money, and then we'll go build them?
So one thing, I never have business plans, right? So, like, you're talking to me like somebody who went to school.
I'm not.
So
I'm like you.
So,
I'm like you.
Yeah, and that's a foreign language to me. So now it's different.
So you get $2 million.
So first of all, it wasn't reverse engineered, right? Because if you would reverse engineer those $5,000 bikes, you would lose your mind,
yeah.
Okay? Because there's a lot of unnecessary stuff in them. So So the goal was just to kind of take a look, why are they so expensive, right? And that's what I meant by reverse engineering. So I looked at it, and it's like, it doesn't make any sense. Long story short, it goes live. I didn't have any expectations. I mean, what do you expect, right? I've been in a business for a long time. You know, you might have the greatest idea, and it just goes flat, right? It's like as any other business. So, but you know, before that, like when I went to do the whole circuit with journalists and everything else, I started to notice the same thing what you described. Once people get on, it's kind of become sticky. You know what I mean? It's a sticky product.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And it's sticky because of that presence, right? It looks cool.
It looks cool.
And it's got the fat tires. And that was so, I was looked down back in the day by all these bike guys. It's like, oh my God, there's such a friction on this. And you're doing electric. You're losing the energy, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, dude, look in a parking lot. Everybody drives SUV. Because they don't like to feel every bump.
Yeah, exactly.
So the way I saw this, okay, I'll get past this whole beach idea that they're beach bikes, all these stereotypes, survive them all, and then everyone will start riding them because you just feel so much more safer and stable and empowered when you ride the fat tires versus traditional ones.
I'll tell you what else you feel. You feel like Superman. So I think a lot of the dads like me in the neighborhood like it because as our personal strength is diminishing, we now get on this vehicle that makes us feel stronger than we were when we were 18. That you can, you know, again, it has opened up my entire, like, hilly neighborhood to me.
Yeah.
So on a night, like, at 8 o'clock, it's dark, and the kids have to go to bed in a half an hour, we can end up riding, like, 5 miles up to the top of where we live and see this whole different neighborhood and a beautiful sky and then get back down very quickly. But all without really breaking a sweat unless I want to break a sweat and lower the pedal assist.
Yeah.
That's what I truly appreciated is that I can cover so much more territory on a bike ride than I've ever been able to.
Yeah.
As opposed to just pedaling along and maybe getting down to the end of my street.
Yeah, that custom experience you're talking about. You know what I mean? So
let me talk about, like, you know, the power plants in these things. On these first bikes, what was the motor in there?
350.
350.
Very small.
And in mine, we're up to 750.
You're 750.
Right. Where is this going?
Oh, well, so listen to this, right? I absolutely hate where this is going, right? Where it's going, it needs to stop right there where you are because anything past that, it's like you don't really need it, right?
Why?
So here's the deal, right? So my
at a certain point, you just have a motorcycle.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you have an unlicensed motorcycle.
I know. I mean, when I hit a very steep grade, there are times that I would like a little turbo boost, but when I'm driving straight up.
Well, that's Rockstar. That's the mid-drive 750, which, you know, I'll bring it. I'll show it to you. So it's a mid-drive, so it's really like anytime you'll hit it, you will just pray to God that you know, hold on to it. It's like, it's dangerous, like in a good way.
Now,
right?
What do you mean? That's on one of your other bikes?
Yeah. So it's the new bike, which is actually coming out right now. Ooh. So I'll show you a picture later.
Yeah, please.
So,
that's probably the motor I've got, the death motor.
Yeah.
I've got an e-bike. We don't need to say what brand it is, but it goes like 37 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And it's sketch.
Sketch.
It's really, really, really dangerously fast.
So
it's a motorcycle, basically.
Yeah,
but to answer your question, it's like we're built for masses. We're not built for enthusiasts, right? So that's where I get excited. I get excited, can I have this in a ton of people's hands versus what's like the next performance level,
right?
Because
you're
talking to me like a car guy, right?
Yeah.
You guys like that kind of stuff, right? But what I'm saying, let's take a big step back and have you ride 5 miles every night or every other night and just have fun. Right. So I'm not here to sell you anything. Speed,
right,
power.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm just here like.
Well, you just sold me your new bike a second
ago.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Did you say one that's too fast? How much is that? I'll take it.
But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to get the new bike because I like this one. You know, it's funny. And I'm happy to hear that there's not going to be a bigger motor on it because that then you get in that thing where you got to get the newer, the better. That's the Porsche analogy. I mean, in a nutshell, right there. That's what
every
they do.
Car really,
right? Yeah. Every car. But I'm quite happy on the bike. You have such a vibrant group of fans too. Like it's like Tesla in a lot of ways. There's a group of people on Facebook that are putting up all their modifications and their lights, and They are so funny. I belong to that group, by the way.
Really? Like,
why you're shaking your head?
To join.
Why you don't like it when they mess with the bikes? Because a couple of them have completely modified their bikes to go 90 miles an hour.
What? No. So listen, I love the group, right? But here's the deal. going back to crowdfunding, right? So we end up selling like $6 million worth of bikes, right? In 60 days or 30 days, right? So to 47 countries and to U.S. So next thing, I'm a one-man operation. So I got 7,500 bikes on a road. And I am the only customer service, right? So because
I don't understand. Explain that to me.
I would call people like, you know.
Do they ship straight from the factory?
No, it came to U.S. And also to Netherlands. I believe that was our European location. So,
but then there's somebody there that works for you.
Well,
surely.
I mean, yeah, I set up logistics. I know how that works,
okay,
right? So
okay.
I know like the business side of it.
Got it.
But like the customer service side was like, oh man, so this guy's stuff doesn't work. That guy's stuff doesn't work. One guy calls me, yells like his brains out. It's like that he does not have the push button on a throttle, right? I was like, is there anybody else in the household who can get on a call? He puts his girlfriend on. I was like, can you push that rubber button there? She pushes, lights come on, hang up on me.
It's like, they just hang up.
I had like hundreds of calls like those, right?
That's really
great. So the
great.
Last thing back then, I wanted to.
Can you imagine buying a Tesla and Elon Musk takes your call?
That's how customer service actually works at Tesla. You actually have to get him on Twitter to listen to your problem if you want your car fixed.
Come on.
That's how people do it.
But he's not doing what this guy's doing.
But I've heard.
People literally need Elon Musk to personally
explain
intervene
it. I hear what
in
you're
their
saying.
Individual
yes.
Tesla
yes.
service
yeah.
issues. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you're getting all these calls.
So, yeah. So in back in the day, I wasn't a huge fan of modifications because on top of like telling people how to turn them on, we're doing a troubleshooting. They're like trying already, like putting a space, like grade motors in it. And I was like, no, I can't do this. I can't handle like additional stress on top of what was already going on.
You don't want to go near that page. There's guys with kids. Watch my kid go 90 down a crowded street.
Well, there is a guy who did 80,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know. I liked it. I liked that little video. But what I do like is they also have, you know, if you want upgraded headlights. So you can see at night, which is something I use. They also have a lot of tips, but what you see is the enthusiasm for the product.
Yeah.
That we're all and everybody has questions, like you said, like, hey, how do I do this? Or I've got a little brake sound. How do I adjust that? And it kind of takes care of itself. The community takes care of itself.
It's a crowdfunded customer service in a sense.
Yeah. And don't you hang out with the first crew? I saw some video you had on YouTube where you're hanging out with the first crew of people who donated, your original guys. And you're riding every week?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. DeBruce is one of the guys. Another guy works for us right now who is one of the original people as well. So, yeah, it just took, like, life of its own, right?
Right.
And it's like people have always asked, did you pay for this? Like, I was like, no. It's like once...
I feel like we're at the very beginning of this story, the very beginning of your story, because I like everything that you're
doing. I
don't
understand. Can we just go back? How does... Because there must have been a high level of promotion involved. You don't just, like, make a page on Indiegogo, walk away from your computer for an hour, and there's $2 million.
Okay, so back in the day, there was Facebook wasn't that saturated.
Uh-huh.
So, like, Facebook ads, you could literally... I think it was a much easier time to launch because there was just not that much noise. You know what I mean? So $5,000 in Facebook ads would go long
interesting.
Way.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it was Facebook and also me doing a lot of legwork. I went to... what's that show in Vegas?
CES.
Yeah, CES. So funny, man. I'm in a corner, right, at CES, like literally by the bathrooms with the bike, and everybody just wants to see the bike. You know what I mean? It's like, and then I did a lot of visited journalists in San Francisco and everywhere else. Just did a lot of legwork. That's all it is. Everything in business is legwork.
But that's before you launched
before
the campaign.
Launch.
Got it.
Because the one thing
so
about
you had a built up PR momentum. It wasn't just like, I threw it out there.
No,
paddleboarding and holy shit,
but
here's $2 million.
The bike did do most of the selling. Like I remember the first time I even saw one, I went, "What is that contraption?"
Yeah.
And how do I get one? You know, the first electric bike I ever rode, Pat Dempsey had, who lives near here, and he came by with it. He's like, you got to try this out.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were all just electric throttle and you go. Yeah. And I learned what pedal assist was. And the second I did the pedal assist, I went, that's great. But when I was looking at his tires, I'm like, you know, this goes fast, but those tires are a little too thin. And then when I saw your bike, I went, that is the stability I think I need on the roadway. And I was telling Matt earlier, there are many times where I'm riding uphill with no hands on the handlebar, just flying, right?
That's the best.
And I was able to put in the little software thing to change my top speed to 25. And that's right about where I'm comfortable as far as speed. Like, I don't want to go much faster than that at all.
Yeah, 25 is like that's a comfortable speed.
Yeah. So how many bikes have you sold in total? Would you say?
You know, this year, I think we're like we're around 100,000 bikes.
Fuck!
Wow,
that's a lot of bikes.
So you and again, the goal is to they're affordable so that the whole world can buy them, right?
Exactly. So the goal is not about if you're asking me, am I like an e-bike expert or like there's a couple things what I like. I like experience and design. So, and you know, if you have a good experience when you get on a bike, performance usually matches the experience. It's never you know, so that's kind of my little different thinking. I'm not looking from the industry standards. They always try to suck me into like an e-bike industry or bicycle industry. I want nothing to do with you guys, right?
Right.
I want to talk directly to my audience, right? When I want to see them, you know. So most time I don't want to see anybody. So just I'll be real with Ben.
I can relate to that.
You know, we can all relate to that.
Exactly. So that's how that's exactly the purpose is, like, just to go directly to the people who are going to use it. And if they like it, it will continue. And if they don't like it, they're going to, you know, teach me a lesson really quick.
How do they perform in the snow?
Oh, awesome. Oh, my God. There's this guy in Canada. You got to watch it. I saw this picture in Boston at the gym where, you know, there's this blizzard out there. All roads are closed. And there's 5 Saunders parked inside.
Do you put the ski on the front?
You know, yes, you can. A lot of people in Colorado put skis on. So
you sell that?
No, we don't. But, I mean, I just see, like, you know. Yeah. This guy can see Spike can see it at the in the group, but in a snow they're just and that's what it makes so cool. They're all season,
right?
So it's not just like summer, winter. Put it back, snow comes out. It's like a snowmobile.
Yeah, you got to drill the screws into the tire and really
now
go
when
crazy.
I
studs.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be great. Studded, ice racing
studded tires,
yeah,
like flat tracks.
Yeah,
studded.
Yeah. Let me ask you this: when I ordered my bike. There was a little bit of a lag time. Like, you know, I think we ordered them and a few months later they were delivered. Are you keeping stuff in stock now? How does it work?
You know, most of the time, normally you have to wait about 2-3 months. Now I think like this year it's going to easily go up to like 5-6 because it's very hard to get your hands on tires or brakes, right?
Because
of the huge demand. This year is just a really crazy demand in the bicycle industry in general, right?
Wow.
Europe is eating everything up. But normally we keep very small stocks. So in sense, each bike is kind of custom built. So because it's just not, we just don't run like as a trend. Like, you know, we don't have a corporate board which says, oh, you got to meet this quarter D sales. So we got to like do something crazy. No, we just do it as a we just follow demand instead of like trying to create some crazy demand.
Wow. Okay, and before you go, we just go to saunders.com?
Yes.
That's it. Go Saunders is where I follow you on Instagram. I always tag you guys. You go to saunders.com, that's where you can order your bikes.
Thank you.
And the newest bike that you've made that you were just telling me about?
It was a Rockstar.
It's a Rockstar.
Yeah, check it out.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
what's your
bike.
Your most affordable bike right now?
The most affordable one would be Smart Step.
How much is that?
I think it's like a $1,299 maybe.
Well, that's for
and
an e-bike.
Fold X's as
for
well.
For an e-bike, that is
way.
Quite affordable.
Yeah. The Fold X's are cool because you can fold them up and throw them in the
car.
Yeah,
I think that's the same price. So
cool.
That's kind of like the price point where we keep it.
And this thing you were talking about, this little turbo boost deal, what was that? What were you saying that I needed when I get it to a very steep grade?
When you get in a steep grade, you need the mid-drive Rockstar. Like the
mid-drive Rockstar is the name of your bike.
Yeah, I'll show you later afterwards. So
wow.
So And that one will have a turbo boost. And God help you.
I'll take. Put me down for one. God
was,
help you.
Was nice knowing you. Like
that
basically.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming by and chatting with us.
This was fun. What a rainy day in Malibu.
We're at the Malibu Kitchen, a.k.a. Sondor's Brick and Mortar, where they sell all the bikes.
We got to get off this lady's window.
Jerry Seinfeld told me to tell you he's enjoying his bike. Did you know he had one out in Long Island?
No.
That he's been taking it out on the beach and taking it out during the pandemic when he's out there, and to send his regards that he loves it.
Very cool.
I'm a huge fan. The dads love it. You've got a great product. I love what you're doing, trying to spread these bikes to the world and not charging them an arm and a leg or what? $4,000 profit margins? That's insanity. That's it, man.
All right. Well, thanks so much, guys.
Thanks,
Matty. What do you want to say before we go?
Smoking Tire Podcast, Smoking Tire video series on YouTube, West Side Collector Car Storage in LA.
Nice.
Those are my things.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Spike Ferguson, and I will answer your questions most of the time. See you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around, a watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.